I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
And welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, if you're a longtime listener, I guess you'll be ready for lots of information coming your way in the next hour or so. And tonight's topic will be loosely around reality creation, how to reprogram old beliefs, a few interesting tips and techniques for your reality creation, and I think you'll find there'll be lots of self-empowering information coming your way. But before we get to all that, we'll kick off the show in the normal manner with the Hari Om Japa Mantra Meditation.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari
Hari
Hari Om mantra meditation. And that particular clip comes from back in about the mid-1970s. And I'd like now to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And I'd like at this time to give my gratitude and appreciation for the listeners of ET Yoga just for being you. And there's some very sound reasoning behind that statement. I've been noticing many different people are presenting scales concerning frequency and ranging from 0 to 1,000, 1,000 representing an enlightened being or a self-realized being, and most of the population kind of falling on their scale between the 2 and 3 and 400 range. But they also note that one person operating at 500 on that scale has a positive impact on approximately 70,000 people. And one person vibrating on that scale at a 700 can affect as many as 70 million people positively. And I really think that's important. And it also ties in with one of Bashar's old sayings that just by being you, you're already making a difference on the planet. And he would further elaborate by stating that when you're doing your passion and other people become aware that you're doing your passion, other people start to become aware of the difference that you're already making just by being you and keeping your vibrations into those higher frequencies such as peace and joy and unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion. And certainly the energy of gratitude is going to come up quite a bit this evening because it so turns out that gratitude places you in perfect heart-brain resonance. And it's a very optimum state for doing things like reality creation. And if you are looking for some proof that heart-brain resonance can perform miracles, I suggest you check out Greg Braden's Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. It's on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, I think it's really a must-see because it really does present a technology that I think will be the wave of medicine in the future. And also with respect to the whole concept about gratitude, I'd like to now share with you some information from the Pleiadians. And I will quote from them. As you take care of your life energies, consider the following proclamation with great care. For these words exemplify the concepts of conditioning your life with an attitude of cultivated trust. I am a creator. I am here to create a safe and beautiful life by vibration and frequency. I choose to be healthy, productive, and wise. I have great gratitude for my abilities to recognize that thoughts produce frequencies, and I can create a frequency that supports the safe, probable world I live in by directing energy toward what I want to experience. I walk through life with clear, conscious intent to weave my energy like a gossamer thread in a large, beautiful tapestry throughout the world I encounter. I fully realize that a multitude of probabilities and belief systems exist side by side with mine, and in mine I am safe. And in mine, I am guided. In mine, I love and trust my body. In mine, I know my cells are precognitive and that I am a co-creator of the multiverse. I know I am a valuable being. I know that I will receive the impulses, the signs and signals and guidance that I require to always be in the right place at the right time for my highest good and that of all those around me. And all that I know, and for this, I am most grateful. They would further elaborate on those words by stating that beliefs are the invisible building blocks, the conditions around which you agree to interact with reality. In this regard, your civilization, like every other, must learn to trace the subtle workings of how beliefs become reality in order to understand the mysteries of the multiverse. What will you choose to believe? And remember how you use and interpret the events of your time will determine the version of the world in which you find yourself. And for those that are new to ET Yoga, certainly a lot of our self-empowering concepts center all around the idea about belief and that what you believe is. And clearly that your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, your definitions, your intentions are what create the world around you that you experience as physical reality. And this being a foundation, basically, of self-empowerment, because by taking 100% responsibility for everything around you and everything that you experience, there's nobody else to blame, and thus frees you up from all kinds of victimhood, because blame, criticism, complaint are signposts of a victimhood consciousness. And the Pleiadians, and this came from actually the old classic, Bringers of the Dawn, and they state, to consciously create what you want, remember to relax, focus your attention on your intentions, and trust in your inner power. If you can remember to apply this teaching, intention, expectation, action, and results, you will be thought of many years hence as a pioneer of the third millennium, a pioneer of the power of love and a pioneer of consciousness, and ultimately as a pioneer of the people. So kind of always like that old classic Bringers of the Dawn. And by the way, if you've never read Bringers of the Dawn, I know that it is available for free on the internet. Do a little bit of searching and pretty sure you'll come up with that one. And speaking of the word gratitude, I've always liked the definition or comments made by Archangel Michael in a channeling from Celia Fenn. And he states that gratitude is the mirror image of the divine. For when you can look at all that you have created in your life and say that it is good, then you're truly working with the perfection of who you are. And when you express this gratitude, then your words and feelings flow to heaven as a blessing that flows back to you with more blessings and love. And certainly gratitude, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is coming up more and more with respect to the whole concept of reality creation. And briefly, I kind of describe the process of reality creation kind of in three different ways. Number one is the beliefs that you download from your original caregivers. So the first 6 or 7 years of your life, you're downloading lots of beliefs from your initial caregivers. And you'll find that as you mature, you need to really go through and identify those beliefs, because you need to thank your initial caregivers for those wonderful gifts they gave you, but also you might want to sort through and eliminate some that no longer serve you anymore. So thus you'll find if in your life you find repeated patterns of certain events happening and you're kind of wondering where that came from, you can likely trace that to original beliefs that you downloaded. And the second area of that I relate to with reality creation comes from what I call the idea of positive spin. And this idea, I originally came across it from Bashar, and that's B-A-S-H-A-R, and he has a website at www.bashar.org. And Bashar would state that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings, that we place definitions and positive or negative emotions related to those definitions, and thus creates the emotional experience from those events. And thus, by placing a positive spin on an outer circumstance, you will have a positive experience. And this is a point that I've challenged listeners on ET Yoga over the years to actually keep track of and log, that when you run across a situation that you would view as normally as negative, even if you can't see any possible way that something good can come from it, throw a positive emotional spin on that circumstance and then log and see what happens. And I think you'll be truly amazed if you really play around with that concept. And then the third area of reality creation, in my opinion, deals with consciously creating new events. And with that one in particular, I think there's lots of little tips that can help in that regard. A few that come to mind would be, because I think it's kind of tricky, especially when it comes to the idea of money, and I know most people are interested in manifesting money. And one of the reasons is, as Bashar would state, that your higher self wants you to experience certain situations and have certain appreciations, etc., before maybe you cash in on that big one. But to always have the attitude that you always get what you want, and if it's not available right now, maybe it will be, or it will be available sometime in the future, rather than giving up on the concept. Another interesting little tip there, also from Bashar, is that if you are trying to develop a new belief and manifest that new belief, no matter what area that's in, if your outer world doesn't change right away, to not be dismayed, kind of like going to a canyon and yelling out number one, and the echo comes back number one, and your new belief is number two, you may still hear the echoes of number one for a while before you start hearing the echoes of number two. And again, it's kind of tricky, because if you kind of give up and say, well, I must be doing something wrong, nothing's happening, I'm trying to manifest this concept or this idea and it's not happening, then you're just playing into back to square one again, where you had the issue in the first place that you identified you wanted to change. But by sticking to your beliefs, in time, the outer circumstance will change. And that could best be exemplified by the concept, if you look into a mirror with a frown, you could look forever before the mirror reflects back a smile. You need to be the one that smiles first, and when you smile first, the mirror image will have no choice but to reflect that smile back. So that would be the concept there. Bashar has also given another tip for speeding up the whole concept of manifestation by this technique, which is to visualize a cube having six sides, and it's a blue cube with six blue sides, and changing one of the sides to red. Thus, you can look at the situation by conceiving that it's the same cube with a red side, or you could think of it as an entirely new cube. And that's the concept, is to try to focus on the idea that any change is a total change, and that when you have new ideas or new conceptions, then you're a new person from moment to moment. Focusing on that concept can help speed up the manifestation process. And clearly, keeping track of your beliefs in any particular area is very important. And your beliefs and what's happening in your outer world, the events aren't there to punish you. The events are there to show you what you actually believe. So what's happening is going to be a perfect mirror reflection of your beliefs. And I have shared some information previously on ET Yoga, and I want to reiterate some of this again with respect to this whole idea about guilt, because it's directly opposite to reality creation. And it would probably is worth our time to ensure that this is not a frequency that is part of our daily representation to the universe. In fact, so turns out that guilt and shame are two of the lowest frequencies on that scale I was mentioning previously of 0 to 1,000. And Bashar has stated that one of the key ideas engendered upon this planet long ago is the idea of guilt. And not that other civilizations do not experience it, but you have delved so very deeply and so strongly into it that your civilization, among the many civilizations we have encountered, has an expertise that is matched by none. Not that this makes you any less. In fact, the idea of your willingness to even experience such limitation in many ways actually makes you strong and is in and of itself an indication of how strong you know you are to be able to subject yourself to such degrees of limitation. This allows you to create many wondrous occasions of self-incrimination, self-invalidation, self-limitation, segregation, and separation in your lives. And many times it's the primary ingredient, the primary symbol to allow you to prevent yourselves from creating in your lives what you prefer, what you desire, and what you know deep within you is what you deserve to experience in your lives. And guilt is what will always perpetuate limitation, always perpetuate separation. It keeps you from recognizing your own self-empowerment and your own connection to the infinite creation. For recognize that fundamentally speaking, while many of you for a long period of time have assumed that hate is the opposite of love, guilt is the true opposite of love. Hate may be the diametric, dynamic polarity expression of love, but guilt is the true mechanical opposite. For love is complete and utter self-worthiness and creativity, while guilt is a belief in lack of self-worth, and it stifles creativity. Hate involves the concept that you deserve something, whereas guilt is completely devoid of the sense of deservability. In fact, guilt is the denial of your very existence. Therefore, the belief in your lack of self-deservability allows you to be able to create a scenario in which you actually keep at bay all the things in life that are yours by birthright, such as happiness, ecstasy, and creativity. Guilt's the bitter pill that was injected into your society by your society to keep you in the status quo of lack of self-empowerment. Because when you truly believe you're not connected to all that is, or God, or the infinite creation, or all whatever concept you would like to use to describe the infinite, when you truly believe you must control by force in order to get anything at all in this life, then do you further the continuation of limitation, further the continuation of guilt. And this scenario has become the very ethic of your society. When you do not believe you are connected, you do not believe you can create things and that you desire in your lives with great ease and effortlessness, and things become worthless to you if you don't create suffering in order to get them. No pain, no gain, as you say. And when you're told a story in your world and that story contains pain and conflict, struggle and strife, you say, oh my, very realistic. But when you're told a story where it says, and they lived happily ever after, you say, ah, it's a fairy tale. That's not real life. Well, there's absolutely nothing within the creation of the universe that insists that the story containing the conflict is any more real than the one that does not. And it is your choice, out of your habits, to believe that pain is more real than joy. So, as we have said, this has become the ethic of your entire civilization, that you cannot have anything in your lives that is worthwhile unless you have suffered, unless you have, as you say, earned it. But do recognize that you do not have to earn it, you already own it. Your birthright. You were created from ecstasy. You were created out of love and light, and it is your birthright. Everything you do can be an act of love done with effortless ease of creativity. You are made in the image of the infinite creator, and that means quite simply that you are infinite creators and multidimensional ones as well. That is the natural you. And if you allow yourselves to realize that you no longer need the tool of guilt, then you will give yourself an expansiveness of your birthright. And I really think that's an important words from Bashar, because clearly that frequency is not beneficial to reality creation. And also, I think it's an important point to now touch upon. When you've identified a certain belief and you choose to change it, there's no doubt an infinite number of ways that you can go about doing that. But a few ideas would be, and this would come from the College of Christ Consciousness, and as stated, how to reprogram an old belief. Number one is to acknowledge it and to own the fear or the pattern. Next, to ask what keeps me believing in that fear or pattern. What will happen if I let go of it? What's the payoff for keeping it? Because there always is one. What do I get to do or not do if I keep the fear or pattern? And third, decide if this pattern serves you anymore. Decide if you want to keep the program or change it. And if you decide to keep it, observe why without judgment. And if you decide to change it, decide what you want to change it to and be specific. You must decide as a new belief, a choice for a new perception, and if you willingly choose to believe in a new reality, you can eliminate the fear or the pattern. So the next step would be to state your intention, what you intend to create. So you would say, I intend to, I don't know, quit smoking, let's say. Your intention must include a willingness to allow the change in your life. And the next step would be to ask Spirit, your higher self, for guidance, then release control of the manifestation of the intent to Spirit, and lastly, to trust. And that's a process that comes from the College of Christ Consciousness. Bashar has kind of an interesting technique for changing beliefs. He would say to visualize something like, if you have the belief that money is hard to get and you want to change that belief to money comes easy, the way to do it would be to visualize the old belief as being plugged in and lighting up a sign, let's say, that says money is hard to get, and then visualize unplugging the sign or the light that shines on that belief and plugging in the light that says money comes easy. So it's a visual process. And I would say that that's it can be a very effective technique. And of course, if you practice a number of different processes for changing core beliefs, you'll come up with the ones that that you are most resonate with, and the ones that will work for you. And I also like the work of Christy Marie Sheldon, and that's Sheldon. And she uses the technique of basically giving thanks and gratitude for already having received it. And I really like the wording here, for example, around money. And she would say that if you want to see money show up in your life, get into the highest place that you can. She would even go through a process of seeing your energy expand outside yourself and outside your city, outside the country, outside the planet, outside the universe, and out into the galaxy, and keep expanding until you reach a place where you feel a calm and maybe a light energy. And then state that I am so grateful and thankful, and I love how much money I have in my life. And one of the reasons I like the wording of that so much is some information that comes from Greg Braden, and that's concerning this whole technology about heart-brain resonance, and how in the ancient history, there's been clearly three separate ideas here, that thought and feelings and emotions are actually three separate definitions. And I know many people sometimes would kind of mix feeling and emotion together as one, but I like the fact that in his teaching about and study about this heart-brain resonance, he basically says that there's only two emotions, which is love and its opposite, and he kind of categorizes the rest as feelings. And in her definition, she includes the feelings and the love. And interesting to note that when people say prayers, Greg Braden would state that the feeling is the prayer, it's not the words. And these are all, I would say, little techniques that can help people be more effective with their whole process of doing reality creation. In fact, another good concept I think that came from the Greg Braden is the scientific discovery that when two particles, they take a particle and then they split it in two and separate it by great distance, and then do some manipulations with one particle or the other, and both react simultaneously, and thus proving that energetically, once joined, two particles are forever linked. And of course, in the most recent theories about the formation of the universe, modern science kind of thinks that the universe was maybe at one point in time the size of a giant pea, and then kind of had the Big Bang theory, and galaxies are, that are farther away keep getting farther away from each other. Thus, all the energy was linked together from the beginning. Kind of goes back to the idea at the top of the show about how we're all affecting each other on the planet with our frequencies. And to me, this is a really important concept. And in my own personal experience of being having experiences with higher consciousness, and actually at the godhood level, where there was the void, where before creation there was nothing but a voidness, the energy was never created, will never end, it just is, it existed beyond the scope of time and space. And from my interpretation, there was like an internal polarization which creates the active phase. So there's an active, passive, and neutral phase to the creational process. And to me, this is really important. It also ties in with the whole idea that you can't conceive what you don't contain, which means that if you can conceive of an idea, you have the possibility to achieve it, because you wouldn't even have the idea if you couldn't achieve it. So I think that's a very positive thing to know, that you're never given a desire without the ability to achieve it. And thus, I also would relate that to the creation as well, that everything is contained within the mind of God, and the creation becomes the expression. And certainly all things are possible, and I think more science now is confirming the idea that there's an infinite number of possibilities. It also coincides with Bashar's teachings that there are an infinite number of possibilities for every scenario, and by doing things like positive spin, you're creating a frequency or a belief, and that belief has its corresponding frequency, and like attracts like. So it's like you're pulling those holographic inserts that already exist, because everything already exists. It's a question of you creating a frequency match for it. And to my way of thinking, you can't experience anything in this dimension unless you're a frequency match for it. What you're not a frequency match for, you're invisible to. Similarly with information, if you don't have the resonant intent or the desire to know something, you probably won't learn it, because you're just not a frequency match for that information. And thus, I believe that this whole concept about you can't conceive what you don't contain ties really well into the whole idea of reality creation. And Merlin the Magician at the Creative Camelot site would state that you can want a certain station or a certain item or a certain concept for an eternity, but you simply cannot receive it until you tune into it. And he says that it's crazy making to do otherwise. You do not receive things so that you can feel good. You have to feel good so that you can receive things. It doesn't happen the other way around, although most people want things to come to them so they can be happier. But in order for things to come to you that make you feel happy, you must first find the feeling of happiness by imagining that you already have those things. And this is why we get so frustrated in life, completely understandably. And to me, this is the key thing with reality creation, is generating the feeling that you already have it in your life. And that's what I like about the attitude of giving gratitude and thanks for already receiving it, putting high emotion into that, love and feeling and expression into that concept. And if you study the Greg Braden Curing Cancer in 3 minutes, you'll see that that is a very, very, very key concept. And the practitioners that do the healing, they see the person as being totally healthy. They acknowledge the current situation, but they also they know that there are alternative realities or possibilities that are also equally possible, and they have learned over a course of time how to make that happen. And the idea there being is that the person's already been healed. And I think this is definitely the key here. And another example of us being all one comes from Bashar, who I believe takes physics out another notch when he talks about the whole concept of prime radiant. If you haven't heard about prime radiant, the best way to visualize this concept would be to think of a dark room with a crystal ball that's lit up, and all you see is a ball of light in the middle of the room. And then a few feet to the right, let's say, of this light, there's another ball. And what you visualize is the light moving from the ball on the left to the one on the right. And according to the theory of prime radiant, Bashar, for practical purposes, says one particle, realizing that technically things are either a kind of a combination of particle or wave or combination thereof. But for the sake of conversation, this one particle then moved from one place to another. Now, if you visualize in your mind the light going back and forth between these two balls and increasing the rapidity of the movement from one to the other, if you repeat it fast enough, you can visualize in your mind, or you can conceptualize the idea that both balls appear to be lit. The energy moves so fast between the two that in your perceptual senses, you will see them both as being lit up. And this is the concept of prime radiant, that everything is one particle that travels at infinite speed, thus breaks no laws of physics. And when the particle transverses or crosses itself, it creates different planes and dimensions and geometrical pattern. And the whole idea being here that if the particle has infinite speed and can be everywhere at once, then it's all the same particle. And to my way of thinking, that concept is not just an analogy. I believe it's a true concept. And in time, it'll become a scientific theory or fact in mainstream thought, which it isn't. In fact, I guess it was about 5 or 6 years ago, I presented this concept on ET Yoga, and at the time, you couldn't find the concept of prime radiant on your internet. I don't know that that idea has come from anywhere else except from Bashar. And thus, it's kind of interesting, but again, reflects the oneness of everything that exists. In fact, Bashar would state that there's only four laws that exist in the universe, and the first law, and laws meaning that they are true on every plane of and dimension. And number one is that you exist, and you can't do much about that. If you exist, you exist, and because you exist now means that you will always exist, and you always have existed in one form or another. Number two is that the all is one and the one are all. Thus, the universe is constructed holographically and fractally to the point where the specific are known by the all, and the all can know itself as the one. And I would also state that you could also have the perception of the all and specific simultaneously. Third concept being is that what you put out is what you get back, and that's more commonly known as the law of attraction. And we all know that in physics that this is true, that for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, just that a lot of people haven't figured out that thoughts are included in that category. And to me, that's definitely awesome idea and concept, because that's what we're all talking about, and about beliefs and being that belief creates, or that thought creates, or that being a frequency match or a certain frequency creates its experience in reality. And the fourth law is that everything changes except the first three laws. And even the fourth law changes, and apparently when change changes, what does it change to? It changes to stasis, and then when stasis occurs, it gives rise to the first three laws. So according to Bashar, everything that we experience in our versions of reality are some play upon one of those four laws. And I would say that if you're starting to be involved in playing around a little bit with reality creation, to me, the easiest way to do this is to get in sync with the whole idea of positive spin first. Because positive spin, when you catch on to the whole idea of positive spin, it develops in you a confidence and makes, in my opinion, makes it a lot easier to move on to intentional reality creation. And certainly more and more physics is supporting a lot of these ideas that have, they came up about 30 years ago or so, and I know Bashar was teaching these concepts over 30 years ago, and the Seth material, and I'm sure some of the things that have come out since the Course in Miracles, the raw material. You know, there's lots of spin-offs, even the new movie or CDs that came out about The Secret. A lot of them were based on the on similar concepts. In my opinion, there was maybe too much of a focus put on the idea about money, so people tried some of these concepts for a little bit, and if they didn't work, they thought all the concepts were wrong, but not that they were wrong. And I really like the Greg Braden definition that we sort of live in a holographic computer program, that the world works much like a reality, a virtual reality computer program. And the energy is consciousness, and the language of interpretation is belief. So that when you dig all the dust away, it comes down to what you believe. And that, to me, is tied directly into the whole idea of placebo. Why does the placebo effect work? Because you believe it. But it doesn't just work in the area of medicine. It works in every single area of your life. So that what you believe, what you know, what you trust to be true, what you most believe and trust to be true for you is what you experience. And to my way of thinking, there is no such thing as an objective reality. There is a sort of a consensus reality that we all kind of loosely buy into. But reality is the experience. And certainly each of us has our own take on that particular concept. And as Swami Satchidananda used to say, as many minds as many gods, because the when you experience higher states of consciousness, it's kind of like taking a cup to the ocean. The cup takes the shape of the ocean. So one person might believe in a personal God, another one may believe in all that is, another one thinks of it as prime creator, another thinks of it like we're all thoughts in the mind of God. There are a multitude of ways of trying to define the infinite, but regardless of what you call it, it's still infinite and not describable or knowable by the rational mind. One of the reasons I try to promote, and if you look at my website, etyoga.com, under my techniques, techniques include the Who Am I technique. And to me, this, well, for me personally, it was the most powerful technique that I ever utilized. And it basically, you start off with by placing your entire attention as much as you can muster in your ajna or third eye center, and creating a spot there where your consciousness is, and stating a number of times, who am I? So you're, if you think about it, you're putting out the question and you're attracting an answer. And then your attention moves towards stating that you're not your body. And then you're not your internal organs. Then you're not your thoughts, for who are you when you're aware of your thoughts? And then you move to the spot and the concept that, what spot? And that particular technique is called the Vichara, and it was given by Sri Ramana Maharshi, who in my opinion was a self-realized being. And yeah, that was the chief technique that he gave to his most advanced disciples. And if that technique is done with full intention and repeated enough, yes, you can go through a doorway and experience a self-realization. And the as Bashar would say, your higher self exists just outside the time-space continuum. So to me, a very powerful technique. It's not about a doing of anything. It's just more about undoing. So that in Ramana Maharshi's words, the thought I is the first thought to appear and it's the last thought to disappear. And it's kind of like when the big eye kicks in, the little eye shuts up. And yes, it is possible to have an awareness of your true self, your higher self, as well as be aware that you're still functioning in this physical dimension. And again, another one of Bashar's sayings is there's only two objective facts in the universe. Number one, that the universe was created with infinite love, and second, that we have consciousness or awareness. And even our personalities are more of an artificial construct. It's related to the concept that our higher self fragments portion of itself off for a specific incarnation for certain experiences. And that one of the beauties about the human DNA is that we're capable of having multiple incarnations, which to our rational mind happen linearly, but from the higher self's perspective, they're all happening simultaneously. And I know it's a tough one to get our minds wrapped around because we're so used to communicating in words and concepts that relate to linear time. I'd like at this time to give my thanks and appreciation to those people who have written in. And for those people who would like to write to me personally, my name is Charles, and I'm at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'm very interested in hearing about your successes with any ideas or concepts that you heard about on this program. And if you'd like to check out the archives of other programs, you can go to BBS Radio and search through for archives, or you can go to my website at etyoga.com. On the main page, there's large letters there that says Radio Archives. You can click there and go directly into the archives. So if there's a concept or an idea, or maybe you'd like to hear the Japa meditation again, you can always go into the archives. The one for this program will probably be up sometime tomorrow night, by the following day for sure. So that's a way that you can get and take your time to research some of the concepts. And also, you can go to BBS Radio ET Yoga Blog, and at the BBS Radio ET Yoga Blog are a series of about 70 or so articles. You'll find quite interesting, depending on what topics you're most resonating with, and they're clearly tagged what those articles are about. So that's just another way, as well as at the ET Yoga site, there's lots of self-empowering information there, as well as techniques, especially, as I mentioned, the Who Am I technique, the Pillar of Light technique by the Pleiadians, the Merkaba technique, the Who Am I technique are all on one spot. And my new book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality, is available for $9.95 at my website, and I really appreciate your support. That's basically what I do, and I think the book's just like the radio programs. It's jam-packed with information. I think it's like 10 books in one because it's just jam-packed with information. And I certainly would like to express my sincere wish towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And as in our normal manner, I'd like to now close the program by playing the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then, imagine the following. around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity. And it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 and side and front and back and side and side and front and back until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 it begins to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension. A new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.